today on Real Radio.
We should be able to announce to the world, to any Jewish friends we might have, just what Jesus did, that he's the Messiah, and you can prove it from Moses through to the prophets in all of the scriptures. The Bible is all about Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called The Ministry of the Messiah According to the Bible, Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah must have really felt great joy for the many prophecies that God gave him regarding the restoration of his beloved Jerusalem. The Lord's kindness and mercy towards his people and towards all of mankind is undeserved good news. But the restoration of Jerusalem has an even greater fulfillment that is yet to come when Jesus Christ returns to earth in the second coming. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 52, we learned that in the last days, many will be deceived into following evil spirits and false teachings. That's why you and I need to be on guard in our Christian walk. There is only one true gospel, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And get this, a remnant of the Jews will come to realize this when God opens their eyes to the truth. So today in chapter 52, Pastor Jack tells us that the Bible is all about Jesus. From Genesis to Malachi of the Old Testament, Jesus taught us about himself. From Moses to the prophets and on through the New Testament, Jesus has proven that he is the Messiah. And now in his lesson called The Ministry of the Messiah According to the Bible, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask you, Lord, now this evening as we pick it up where we left off in this lofty, most sacred, perhaps, as some great scholars have noted that this portion of Isaiah chapter 52, 53 is the gospel presented in graphic form. And tonight we pray as a church that we'd be well-equipped people. So Lord, bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, you can grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah, if you would, chapter 52 tonight. We're right at the end. If you remember, we stopped a little early. And we'll pick up in verses 13, 14, and 15. Very powerful portions of scripture. If you've ever attended a communion service here, or perhaps in any church for that matter, you may remember hearing about these portions of scripture regarding the sacrifice and the offering of Jesus Christ himself. And Isaiah, the prophet, is speaking remarkably 743 years before the birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit upon him, he speaks out into the future regarding the Messiah of not only Israel, but the Messiah of the world. And I want you to think about that as we go through this evening. The fact of the matter that if you would allow the fact that God declares that he is God. Now, maybe all of you already believe this, but maybe there's somebody in here tonight that's not sure. The God of the Bible says that he's God, and he says, you can know that I'm God by one remarkable characteristic of the God of the Bible possesses. And that is, he says, I can tell the future in advance in perfect detail. Now, Satan has a counter to that. Satan is known for false prophets, for imposters. And the Bible, which is absolutely, of course, God's eternal word, and you say, how do you know that? Well, for me personally, my great convincing proof of the Bible is that it's bulletproof in this manner. It announces the future in advance, writes it down in black and white, and then waits for time to pass. And you can look at the scripture and look at history and make the conclusion that God knew exactly what he was talking about. That's the kind of God I want to worship. How can we trust God with our future? Easily, because he knows all. He's the God that knows everything about everything that can be known. And I encourage you tonight, as we go through this portion of scripture, you're going to hear about the ministry of Jesus in the Old Testament. And I want to challenge you, put your trust in him. More now than ever before, put your trust in him. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, we pick it up where he says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Verse 15, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider." Now, church, last time together, you remember in chapter 52, I announced that verse 13 was actually the area or the spot where chapter 53 is supposed to begin. And you can look that up in any expository book or breakdown of the scripture. The King James translators broke it up in this manner. But the context of the message, the chapter actually begins in verse 13. And what is that that it begins? It announces this, that the ministry of the Messiah is revealed and recorded in the Bible. And you, as believers here tonight, have got a great, tremendous wealth of knowledge being 2,000 years removed from the cross. But tonight, I want you to just walk through. By the way, if you're taking notes, write small. We're going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, but I hope it encourages you and builds up your faith. These verses, by the way, that we're looking at, Jesus, no doubt, in Luke chapter 24, it's now in the evening. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead on that Sunday morning. And remember, we talked about the two disciples that are walking back home now from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came up right alongside them, and they were unaware of that. It was Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why are you looking so sad? Why do you look so depressed?" And they said, "Are you a stranger around here? Do you not know the events that have transpired here of late?" And Jesus says, this is amazing. He's got a sense of humor. Jesus says to them, "What things?" I love that. And they said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, mighty in word and in deed. God's spirit was upon him. And he showed us the way of life and the kingdom. But he was crucified and he died and he was buried. And now it's the third day." Their hope was dashed. And the Bible tells us, in fact, remember, we touched on it last time, Luke 24, verse 25, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets," notice, "all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered," please mark that, "ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" You ought to circle the word "suffered" and the word "glory." Verse 27 goes on, "And Jesus," obviously beginning at Moses, that is Genesis, "and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus gave them an Old Testament Bible study about himself. All of the scriptures, meaning from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus taught them about himself from the Bible. That is our apologetic approach in the 21st century. We should be able to announce to the world, to any Jewish friends we might have, just what Jesus did, that he's the Messiah, and you can prove it from Moses through to the prophets in all of the scriptures. The Bible is all about Jesus, and Jesus says that himself. This is why we have the Bible, and this is why we have Bible study, that we might know God. It's all about Jesus. So, church, we looked at this part just for a moment, and we'll pick it up. Verse 13, we look at the fact that the Messiah must suffer and die. Church, this to you and I is normal to us. If you are predominantly Gentile as I am, non-Jew, you've had a Christian or church upbringing, even the most remote fashion, you know this, that Jesus came and died. He came and suffered. And you would say, maybe even the man on the street would say, yeah, you know what? I heard that. I know that. I've seen crosses, Jesus on the cross. Yeah, I think the story is something like Jesus came to die for us. Everybody seems to know this, except one certain group of people to whom Isaiah is speaking to, and that's the Jewish people. So remember, Jesus is speaking to a couple of Jews walking on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and Jesus, the Jew, is speaking to some disciples who are Jews, talking about the God of the Jews regarding the Messiah of the Jews, that he would suffer. Because in the Jewish mind, the Messiah cannot suffer. I don't know where they got this. It somehow rose up even before Christ was born that the Messiah would come and deliver them from all of their tyranny. Now, church, listen to this and hang on to your seats a little bit. They believed even before Jesus was born in Bethlehem that when the Messiah would come, he would usher in the kingdom, he would relieve all of our problems, he would deliver us from all of our woes, and that the Jewish state, the Jewish nation would be instituted to be the global power of the world through the Messiah, and that shouldn't be foreign to you, because didn't the disciples try to make Jesus to assume the kingship, the throne? Didn't the population try to do that? Do you remember when they tried to take him by force and make him king? When Jesus, listen, right before Jesus went to the cross, he showed them the destiny of the temple, that they were boasting and bragging about the temple, but Jesus said, it's all going to come down. But they had asked them, will you restore to us the kingdom? When Christ had risen from the dead, they're thinking, all right, now, okay, he's back. And they're still in that groove of mindset. Awesome. Jesus, thank you for being resurrected from the dead. Now, will you establish the kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that my Father has put into his own care and his own trust. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the what? The uttermost parts of the earth, to Chino Hills, all over the world. They didn't see that there was going to be this suffering Messiah Savior, and there would be an evangelistic outreach to the ends of the earth, and then the conquering king would come. The Jews missed that. So you need to be looking at the Bible tonight, and you're looking at the Jewish scriptures, and you're speaking to or you're listening to a Jewish prophet speak to you in the person of Isaiah. And the Bible says that the Messiah must die, that the Messiah must suffer. And so think about this, every Jew then and today, and if you have any, do you have any Jewish friends? I asked you this before, I want to see, you need more Jewish friends in your life. First of all, the food is great, but they need to know what you already know. Friends, they need to know what you know. Now watch this. Follow this through. The Bible, Isaiah, when Jesus was born, every synagogue had Isaiah and the scriptures, okay? They had the scriptures. So Isaiah is speaking, and the prophets are recorded, and what happens? So Jesus comes, Jesus ministers, Jesus shows the nation the will and the word of God in person, and the religious leadership, the hierarchy, for whatever reasons, the Bible tells us for jealousy, the Bible says they were envious of Jesus, they resisted him. They contradicted him. They fought against him. They tried to get false witnesses to malign him. All the while knowing that the scriptures teach that Jesus must suffer. So allow this to happen. I would say to my Jewish friend, if I'm talking to a Jewish friend tonight, I'd say, listen, I have to ask you this question. And maybe you can use this with your friends. When your conquering king comes, the Messiah, how will you deal with these portions of your scriptures? Because remember, when your conquering king comes, you're telling me that he's never been here before. Remember, Christian, tonight, you're hoping and praying that Jesus comes, what? Back. We're looking for the return of Jesus, right? The Jews are not. They're looking for the first coming of Jesus to yet happen. You know something they don't know. So if Jesus is going to come back for the first time to the Jewish mind, how can they possibly believe this when the prophet said that the Messiah is going to suffer? So follow along with me, write it down. First verse, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They have and have had this scripture. And you're asking your Jewish friend, if your Messiah is going to come for the first time and you're waiting for him, how do you answer this scripture? Zechariah 12, 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, the spirit of supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they, what? Pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Remarkable. Listen to this. These scriptures are in the Jewish Bible, the Bible you have. The Jews have that Bible. So listen, does that make any sense to you? If you were to ask them, if your Messiah hasn't come yet, you think he's coming, then how is it that your prophets say that when he comes, he's pierced? Did you know that, church, that the Bible teaches when Christ returns in the second coming, the Bible says he's pierced? He's going to bring his scars back when he comes. You ever think of that? So my question is, think about it. In fact, listen, what if you're a Muslim here tonight or you're watching? Listen, all of these scriptures only fit the New Testament account of what the Old Testament reported and prophesied. The Messiah came the first time. He was pierced in Jerusalem on a cross. He ascended and went back to heaven. He's coming back a second time. He's not coming back a first time. He's coming back a second time. Because you can't have a Messiah coming back a first time when he's pierced. You would have to ask this question if you're Jewish. How is it that you were pierced in heaven? Are you with me? I thought you would be impressed about that. That's a very good point. Well, I'm on a roll, so let's do it. Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Funny, interesting. Anointed? It's a claim of deity, messiahship. Here, Psalm 2 introduces the fact that there's kings of the world, the rulers of this age, and they're warring against God and his Messiah. Keep going. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? That's recorded in the New Testament, but it was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Jesus on the cross recites the 22nd Psalm. Why would he do that? Why didn't he recite Genesis 1:1? Because context is everything. He is on the cross. It's Psalm 22 that says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And from the cross, Jesus quotes the 22nd Psalm, announcing to every Jew who knew their Bible that this was none other than the suffering Messiah, the Savior. This is not an accident. Jesus didn't mess up and get himself killed. This is not some plan that went wrong. This is the absolute perfect will of God on the cross for the sins of the world. Psalm 69, verse 20. Psalm 69, 20. Reproach has broken my heart. Again, this is a messianic psalm. By the way, the word reproach means taunting, ridicule, mockery. Isn't it interesting that this is messianic, meaning this is God coping with this? Listen, this is God saying, the taunting or the reproach has broken my heart. You ever think about God having a broken heart? God's heart breaks over our situation. Maybe you've heard this, and I don't like to promote his name because he's a very, well, I mean, now he's dead, but he's a very vile man. He doesn't use nice words. He's a total atheist, but I'll listen to him on YouTube because I like the debates that he's in, and I want to know how atheists think. But he's got a very foul mouth, and that's Christopher Hitchens. And he's supposed to be one of the great, or was one of the great debaters regarding atheism. Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, a few others. But when you would watch Christopher Hitchens debate John Lennox or Dinesh D'Souza or others, he didn't say anything. And he was brilliant. But he got on the topic of God, and you know what he did the whole time? He just talked about how bad God was. He claimed he didn't believe in God, and then he sat there and ridiculed the person of God. Well, your God, your Christian God, he's up there and he's just wringing his hands waiting to smack you when you step out of line. And then what kind of a God is this that you guys want me to believe in? Who says, I'm your father, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, can you imagine me telling my kids, I'm your father, and I'll never leave you or forsake you, and then I drop dead? I've lied to them. Christians are being lied to. How can your father never leave you or forsake you? Did you see? He's whining about the fact that he doesn't like the way God speaks and God talks. The problem was Christopher Hitchens is a human father, and your father is the eternal father, and he can't die, he can't leave you, he can't abandon you because he loves you. Thank God, God the Father is not like us fathers. He's God, and he loves perfectly. And death cannot separate us from God. Hardship cannot separate us from him. But notice that when people have a beef with God and they want to question him and grumble about him, they never can argue an explanation that rules out the existence of God. They just complain about how God's running the universe according to their opinion. And how can you complain about a God that's running the universe not to your liking without confessing in your complaint that you must believe in him? You don't complain about fairies, do you, or unicorns? When's the last time you got in an argument with a unicorn? You don't, because they don't exist. Don't tell my granddaughter that, but are you with me? You only get in an argument with something that's real. And this is an amazing thing. Bible prophecy proves the existence of God. And God says, my heart breaks when I'm mocked and ridiculed. Not for himself, for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ministry of the Messiah According to the Bible, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. You know, for Jesus to willingly suffer such a horrible death in our place shows us just exactly how much he loves us. Won't you come to him today? The Ministry of the Messiah According to the Bible, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, here at Real Radio, your prayers and your contributions towards our radio ministry are really a big part of what keeps us on the air. So, if you'd like to give a one-time gift or maybe help sponsor us on a monthly basis, well, we've made that real simple for you to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that's labeled Donate. And if you'd like to share some thoughts or questions you might have, just click on the tab that says Contact, and from there it's pretty easy to figure out. Again, all the information you need to get a hold of us is right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or on the Real Life app. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.